Go. Thank you. So yes, we're doing a favour for a class who needed the video more than we did. And you're probably just about sick of me playing with PowerPoint slides and waving at them. So, I need to have a look or refer you back to the reading that I asked you to do, which was pages 40. We started at page 48. It's got the nice basic reassuring sort of look at what we were doing yesterday. Because there are a number of levels at which understanding DNA is a useful thing. So, point one. DNA and RNA are nucleic acids. They're made up of things called nucleotides. You need to know what a nucleotide is. Okay, so that's easy. Nucleotides are easy. Nucleotide is a sugar, phosphate, and a heterocyclic base. Nitrogenous base, heterocyclic base. Heterocyclic is a word for the circle, the cycle, the cyclic things with nitrogen in. Kieran?
Can we refer to them as like heterocyclic?
Yes. I would refer to them as heterocyclic bases. I mean, it's pretty obvious if you're doing a genetics paper what you're talking about. And that makes enough sense. But the accurate term is a heterocyclic base. A nucleotide base, but yeah, heterocyclic sounds better educated. So, we're doing spot the difference between ribose and deoxyribose. Picture of a nucleotide, and bottom of the page says strands of DNA with complementary base pairing pointing in different directions. 48 and 50. 48 and 49. Well, I'm interpreting the
bottom of 48.
That's the diagram, bottom of 49. So the anti-parallel nature of DNA. So the double-stranded thing is anti-parallel. That's the same thing we see if we look at these. If we're trying to get the two things to bond together, this one's got to be upside down.
They kind of have to be.
Yeah, they do have to be. Upside down is exactly what they have to be.
It's not really surprising.
No, it's not. But we've just got to think about it because that is relevant to our friend Okazaki. Mr. Okazaki discovered something really, really important, and it's got to do with this anti-parallel thingy.
The bubbles and the moving around.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about the bubbles. Okay, Stephen.
Do we have to remember this diagram?
Yes. Okay. We start off with what DNA is made of. So we start off with nucleotides and a line of nucleotides in a random order, A, T, C, G. There's a complementary strand, which is also which is exact base pairing opposite. If we're going to be technical, the backbone's going in the opposite direction. Okay. Now, the other thing then is that DNA is a very, very long molecule, and we've been there before too. Really, really, really long, and really, really, really skinny. So, the diagram, bottom of page 50, says the double-stranded, the double helix of DNA around 2 nanometers across. So that's how much space it takes to get deoxyribose, phosphate, and 2 strands of deoxyribose and phosphate in the backbone and basically 3 rings of a nucleotide base. A 2-ring one, joins to a 1-ring one, and hydrogen bonds. All of that is 2 nanometers across, 2 billionths of a metre. If we're going to be even more technical about that, if you look at the double-stranded thing of DNA, it's about 10 nanometres for it to do one complete circle, one complete cycle of the ring, of the helix. So one complete twist is about 10 nanometres up.
It says that contains 10 nucleotides each twist.
What is 1 nanometre?
A nanometre is a billionth of a metre.
So that is one nucleotide.
In that range, yeah.
Okay.
There's also the gap in between, the hydrogen bonded piece in the middle. Yep. So about a nanometre. Okay. And it's hellishly long. So you've got 2 metres of this stuff that's 2 nanometres thick. So it's a billion times longer than it is thick. And the whole point about making your body work is that all of that stuff's got to be kept organized. If your body's trying to unpack the make salivary amylase enzyme in your salivary gland and gets toenails instead, then you're spitting something uncomfortable.
How does it fight? Presumably what's doing all fake protein copies the right bit. How does it do that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm really sorry you asked that question. So turning genes on and off is something that's one of those, it's one of the emerging parts of the science, we'll say. So genes that are turned off are usually packaged away. How? I don't know. I'll break my head on that one shortly. Right. Rory's thinking, how are we getting smoke?
Okay, so DNA is the thing that controls us.
Yes.
Does DNA, does the only thing that it make proteins?
Yes.
So does that mean, and all these proteins are different, they make different types of proteins?
Yes.
The combinations of these different types of proteins make different things?
Yes.
So we are controlled by proteins?
Yes.
What do proteins from other foods give us?
Amino acids. We digest them, we break them down into their component parts. They can end up in our body and we either burn them for fuel or we assemble other proteins in our body out of them.
Okay. So they can help us.
Yeah, that's what we need. That's why we need protein in our diet. If your body's translating a message to make, and we'll use salivary amylase as an example again, and it needs a methionine. It's one of the ones our bodies can't make, and it searches and says, I want a methionine. That has to get supplied by the bloodstream from the digestive, from proteins that we've eaten belonging to other organisms, and it grabs that one because amino acids are universal, almost. 99 and a bit percent.
So, like, when people say that carrots are good for eyesight,
yep.
That is because they have, what, a protein in it?
No.
Okay.
They have a fat-soluble vitamin called retinol, which is an essential part of making the cones in our retina.
But those are made from...
Yeah. What they're made of is protein. The easy way is that DNA is the code for proteins, and everything in our body is made of or by proteins.
What would be by proteins that isn't protein?
Stuff like sugar, starch, muscle glycogen, fats. Yeah, they're made by enzymes. They hook, put things together. So enzymes are the making things. Sorry, Stephen.
Right, yeah, you said when you get extra proteins in your body, breaks them down, uses them and whatnot. What happens with fat? Or do they just... how does it know how to store it? Like when it's had enough or when it's...
Fat must be stored before use.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you digest fat, you must store it, full stop.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff about this. Protein is actually the only thing, when I said it's either burned or used, the only time you actually burn protein, technically, I mean, you burn as much as your body's using right then when you eat it. Protein, your body's actually got a nitrogen balance, so if you've eaten a really, really high protein diet, you will pee out any excess. The things that we store are fats and carbohydrates, mostly. But we need proteins to build our own proteins, our muscle fibre, repair, growth. The dietary stuff is complex. But yeah, if your metabolism's running high because you're using stuff, then you'll break down, then you'll use proteins. But usually proteins are only used for fuel if you're starving and your body starts breaking down your own muscle. And it actually breaks down muscle. People who've died of starvation have still got things like fat coverings around some of their organs because fat's also protective. So fat people, the big deal for fat people is that calories in is greater than calories out. And you can also get yourself into a cycle where that your body stores stuff routinely, or you're eating a high fat diet and your body's storing it early. Yeah, that too. Then your then the hormones that give you the messages aren't giving the right sort of message. Yeah, that's as much as I can say about that.
What's the necessary daily protein intake?
I can only tell you in grams of nitrogen, and it's around 11, 12 grams of nitrogen. It's not lots. It's not lots. If you're doing bodybuilding things, if you look at some bodybuilding supplements, they contain stuff like amino acids, like pre-digested.
Yeah.
Pre-digested. Yeah, because what your body does, it takes a big long protein and chops it up in little pieces and takes the amino acids on board. That's how that works. So if you get the amino acids, there are ones your bodies can make from other ones and ones your bodies can't. So if you take essential amino acids, that's potentially a way that people can make money by selling your proteins.
So all proteins are made of polypeptide chains?
All proteins are polypeptide chains.
Okay.
They're made of
amino acids. Would there be proteins that are made of only 3 amino acids in a certain order? Or
possibly.
Okay.
Possibly, but unlikely, yeah.
Do they have to be in a certain order in order to make the specific?
Yes, why?
Yes, why?
You think why?
Just wait.
Holding hands with another amino acid. You've got to make the right shape.
Right.
Yep.
And so if you have, are there polypeptide chains that are far smaller than others?
Yes. Some are huge. And some, especially hormones and stuff, are quite small.
So can you have the same protein, but it's smaller? Or are generally all proteins of the same type, the same size?
That's a bit simple from both levels. Usually what happens about protein is that it's a particular size so that it'll fold into an active site if it's an enzyme, and also so it'll either dissolve in water, or it's got a long, water-hating tail so it'll dissolve into a membrane. And if that tail's shorter, it won't sit as well. And so mostly the proteins are sort of optimised to do the jobs that they do. And we tend not to recognise the ones that sit into a particular active site, a hormone receptor or something, if they're different sizes. So, yeah. Protein, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of proteins. And they're all, vary by their amino acid sequence.
I mean, can there be proteins that are completely different but have the same amino acids but in different orders?
Yes.
But the same exact ones, just in a different
order? Yes.
Okay, so that completely...
That changes the folding because that changes the love-water-hate-water thing. And the thing that we didn't do when we did love-water-hate-water protein role-playing is how big your side chain is. If you're trying to clump together really, really closely, some of the amino acids have got big side chains. So they actually can't physically get as close. So that influences the size, influences the shape as well.
All right. And when we did that, we were all being amino acids.
Yes.
So there are ones that are not water and ones that are for water. Right?
Yes.
And so they can mix and in polypeptide chain. Okay.
Yep. And that the polypeptide chains are very, very subtly... Potentially subtly different. Okay, DNA, long, skinny thread things. You can see the picture says that DNA strands wind around histone proteins. So histone proteins are ways of keeping the string organised. Then the histone proteins are packed into chromatin, and the chromatin coils up into looped things and condenses into what we see as a chromosome during mitosis. Now, working chromosomes don't look like this, and we talked about that when we looked at the pictures of chromosomes. A working chromosome looks more like a dish of spaghetti. The stuff's out there because you're having to, the DNA's being copied into RNA and made into protein. So it's not all coiled up into a little clump of a chromosome. The bits that are being used are pushed out. And there's some classic pictures of things like the giant chromosomes that you find in the salivary glands of Drosophila is where they found this out, because you can see the clumped up chromosome with a bit of it puffed out, and it's like it sort of had a little explosion on one side, and there its guts is hanging out, it's the chromosome that's being out and it's being transcribed and used.
This is really quickly, it's kind of off topic, but it's just lighter. Why is it that sometimes when you're like talking or whatever, a bit of your saliva squirts out of your mouth?
It's a tongue dynamic. Yeah, it's tongue. It's
no, you, this is your tongue dynamic.
Yeah, because you're making what might be. I hate to say this, make some things like a fricative consonant. Ah, where you go. If you're doing sounds that are things like p and t, then you're actually you've got pump for air and you're doing something very definite with your tongue and your lips. If you're doing a's and e's and i's and o's and u's. They're not doing anything. You're a spitting cobra. Yeah. You've got a gland under your there's a gland under your tongue.
Yeah.
I've had far too much information about this from dental hygienists about where your salivary glands are actually pushing on your teeth. And so the one under your tongue does itch. And you can salivary glands do, can squirt, but it's usually under appetite stimulation.
Okay.
I'm really hungry and I'm talking and the saliva's really going now. Oh yeah, saliva's randomly on topic. Okay, packaging of DNA. Prokaryote DNA is usually circular and is so small it can only be seen under an electron microscope. Now it appears that we've probably oversimplified prokaryote DNA, and prokaryotes are also have their nucleosome anchored somewhere to their cell wall, cell membrane. So it's always sort of in the middle. And the other things that we'll come to is that they've also got what's called extra chromosomal DNA. So prokaryotes have got extra chromosomal DNA. They've got little circular pieces of DNA called plasmids. Right. Eukaryote DNA is wound into histones and then made into the complicated things that we call chromosomes. That's the DNA stuff. Now, when we talk about what happens next, in some ways we need to talk about what, about why. So the next piece in the book says DNA replication. Why do we need to replicate DNA? Cell division, okay? Cell division is why we need to replicate DNA. Mitosis, we need for growth and repair. Meiosis, we need for making sex cells, so guys are doing meiosis more than girls are. Decreasingly as the years go by, but it's not just as you're getting older, but younger generations tend to be. I think sperm production's a little bit lower than it used to be. Acceptance. I don't know if I want to tell you.
I do.
So what do you reckon the age of greatest sperm production is?
15.
It's probably getting into the region of 18. But yeah, 15 is just getting excited about the fact you are. 18 through 25, that kind of thing. But sperm production actually stays. Men produce sperm their whole life.
So, women
don't produce sperm ever. But yeah, mostly. Mostly. I used to say yes to this straight away. I'm not certain enough, I haven't done enough study about oogenesis to actually be able to be really definite. But mostly, yeah, most meiosis happens and most women's eggs are made at about 5 months gestation.
Okay.
So all of that, you start with the same number of tissues. The tissues develop as you're growing in the womb under the influence of hormones and stuff. Testicles start to form, ovaries form and eggs form in them. Now the rest of the biology I've just lost a little bit of, because I think that egg release is also, that there's another oocyte involved in the hormone production of ovulation.
Oocyte?
Proto-egg. Theoretically, an egg's only an egg. It's the technical name for an egg, but it's only really an egg when it's actually been released. Ovulation produces an ovum, which we would then call an egg.
So what's
the creator? Oocyte, two O's.
Because when an egg, like a chicken,
yep.
It's not actually an egg until it's outside, then it goes harder.
Yeah, no, because the egg part's actually the ovum. The rest of what we're calling the egg is all... I was back to what dinosaurs... The rest of the egg is protection, shell and stuff.
Did
what?
Did dinosaurs lay eggs?
Yes, they did. That's why they find dinosaur eggs.
Of course.
No, the rest... Yeah, I know. It's, the rest of the conversation is, are birds actually living dinosaurs, which is the way in which a lot of the interpretation of dinosaur behaviour is going. So yeah, there's differences between males and females. Has to have been the chicken. Okay, so cell division, mitosis is for growth and repair. Meiosis is gamete production. And at the risk of going on about it, males also do it a whole lot more than females. It used to be referred to that males produce about enough sperm to impregnate all the women in Europe daily.
Cool.
Women produce, it's around 50,000 eggs, thereabouts. Sorry? No, I don't think so. Sperm production seems to be under the... It seems to be affected by things like phytoestrogens and... Phytoestrogen, so other synthetic estrogens, and... Tight underwear. Phytoestrogens are things like found in soy. Phyto is plant. So stuff like increased amounts of soy in the diet, there's some indication that that's an issue. But also, the bigger one... is actually stuff like, I've forgotten the name, but some of the things that outgas from plastics like polycarbonate, hard plastics, we went through a phase of saying you shouldn't ever refill PET bottles, you certainly shouldn't microwave them, because some of the chemicals, and I'm trying to think whether it's a bisphenol ether, it's something with bees in it. But there are things that come out of the water in very small, bisphenol A, and that's polycarbonate. They come out of plastics, and that also appears to be, there appears to be some evidence that there's an increase of that in the environment. Also, the environment's becoming estrogen rich with things like the result of women taking the contraceptive pill. That's the, you know.
Is it having a cell phone in your pocket reduces your sperm count?
Not yours.
No.
people will try very, very hard to say that there's nothing wrong with cell phones at all. There may be a whole lot of very bad news in the future. So it's possible. Things that reduce your sperm count are exposure to estrogens and keeping your testicles at body temperature. Cell phones might do that as well because they're producing low power microwave radiation, but nothing. What does reduce your sperm count? Guaranteed, keeping your testicles warm, exposure to THC. Keeping your testicles cool, wearing a kilt.
Okay,
so
you're
fly fishing out.
Yeah. Sorry?
So is THC the only drug that...
No, there's a number that do, but THC is the only common one that does.
The only one that high schools
have. Tetrahydrocannabinol.
Cannabis.
Alcohol doesn't decrease your sperm count, it just decreases your ability to use it.
Yes.
But convinces you that you're able to. Sorry, I'll just...
Cell phones, like chips, because they've got bras, they're easy to put stuff in, so you can put a phone in.
I don't want to know what else you keep in your bra. I don't think so. It's also bad for your phone. Sorry?
Like aerosols,
I think known risk factors, it doesn't appear to be a major at the moment. Breast cancer as a function of genetics, age at first, reproduction. Well, right, because radiation, the point is that radiation damages cells, and radiation damages dividing cells, and mammary tissue is potentially dividing cells.
Okay.
Well, especially if you're going to use it. No, you're definitely not. Basically, breastfeeding appears to be protective against breast cancer. It's another. We've got some tissues that got used by dates. True, mammary tissue, ovarian tissue, prostates in men. That being said, gentlemen, breast cancer is a major risk factor for men. It tends to kill men more than it kills women, because men tend not to go to the doctor when they've got a nasty lump in their chest, because they don't want to think they're developing breasts. If you get a lump in your chest, go and get it checked. Breast cancer actually has a significant mortality in males. Males don't get cervical cancer, they don't get ovarian cancer, women don't get testicular cancer, but both genders get breast cancer. Stephen?
If heat slows down your sperm
production.
Yeah, okay. If you're seeing a sparkle for 9 days straight, would that stop it? Or?
It would certainly give it a problem. I wouldn't rely on it.
No, but if you did it for long enough, if you did something for long enough, would it eventually stop and then not start again?
I don't think so. Possible, but I don't know enough about things that kill fertility for sure. I mean, if you really wanted to do it that way, you could try the operation.
I'm just curious.
Rubber ring. If you wanted to completely destroy your sperm count, you could just mind you, there is a disadvantage about the operation, which is if you've got testicles, even if they're non-functional, they're still producing testosterone, and therefore you don't suffer the androgenizing effects of becoming a eunuch.
When you get a vasectomy, it just stops the sperm, it doesn't stop everything else.
Yeah, just the plumbing.
Okay. Yep.
I heard them becoming a eunuch.
Yes.
Hear me out on this. I heard that in the olden days, they used to put a hole in the plant that was somewhere.
Yes. Yes. Some African cultures produce... Now, if we're going to use the technical term, I think it's a hypospadia. But a potential... It probably was part of the inspiration for that Monty Python song that we used when we were talking about birds. Every sperm is sacred. So if you drill a hole in your urethra, then eventually you can... lose the sperm before it goes anywhere that's going to get you into trouble. And if you wanted, therefore, to get to actually impregnate a woman, you hold your finger over it. See? More subtlety. The interesting thing, the more you look at a whole lot of things, the more subtlety you find.
You're recording all this, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm acutely aware that I'm recording all of this. Acutely aware. And so, we're walking down the balance of relevance and good taste. And we're probably slightly to the left of good taste at the moment. But relevance, we might have to be cautious and put an explicit tag on an iTunes thing. We're definitely not there. I mean, this is relevant because we're talking about mitosis and meiosis. It's actually useful to think about how it works and how it works in our own lives. And while hyperspadias and things and penises is probably not there. Oops, I said the word. We're talking about mitosis and meiosis. And because... Now, why are we talking about mitosis and meiosis? This is where we see the chromosomes. So this is where it started. This is where we see the chromosomes and... This is where DNA replication happens. So these things, mitosis and meiosis, are... they are why we have to look at DNA replication. DNA replication is going to wander us down to Rory's question about Mr. Okazaki's contribution.
Too bad we only have 2 minutes left.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you did that on purpose.
No. Seriously, I understand Okazaki fragments.
It's just really and
I can bend your mind with them, yes. Yeah, okay. Rory, the only thing we're going to think about Okazaki fragments for now is that enzymes are all about what? And active site, so the shape. The overriding word here is shape. DNA molecules, Ali, when you finish the yawn, DNA molecules, one, the pentagons are pointing which way on one strand? They're pointing up on one strand, which way are they pointing on the other strand? You've got two choices, up or down. Okay, it's in the book there, it's on bottom of page 49. There's a little picture. The pentagons are pointing up on the left-hand chain. They're pointing down. Okay. Shape difference. If the enzymes were aware of the, like, deoxyribose because they're shape-dependent and they were moving from one nucleotide to another, then in theory, if they climbed up the left-hand chain, could they climb up the right-hand chain?
Down
the have to go down the right-hand one. If they climb up one, they have to go down the other. That's the key idea that we'll hang on to. Okay, so that's the one. DNA replication is about shape. Sorry? Okay. Pentagons are pointing up, so if an enzyme is working its way along that chain...
And what does the enzyme do?
Copying. If you had a copying enzyme that climbed up one chain, which way would it have to go up there on the other one?
Down.
Okay, that's the idea. So the copying enzyme goes up one chain, has to go down the other chain. That's the only idea I want to hang with.
Can the left chain be facing down, the right be facing up?
If you're standing on the other side of the page, they're the other way around. Okay, that will do for now. I need to do the roll before you go.